I've asked Hugh Cuckey, of course, as well as being a host, a broadcaster, and the GM of WateNews.com, if we might just reflect a little on the visits, important ones as well, and how they might affect the political outcome in November. Matthew, we're talking free trade deals and other matters. Firstly, though, perhaps an opportunity for you to reflect on your personal hotapu and your Matariki experience. Kōrero mai, Matthew.
Well, I've got to say, the hotapu up at Ngāti Whātua, Kia ora ake. You know what? It's a bucket list thing. If anybody has the opportunity to get up that early and go up on that hill, the hospitality of Ngāti Whātua is incredible. But I get to see all the different hotapu going on around the country, down at the bottom of the South Island with the dark skies. That was beautiful. Te Puia in Rotorua, they sent me through the videos and the social media snaps, if you like, of their hotapu, our own whānau in Tauranga Moana. Me personally, I spent the day with my godson Josh. We ate food, watched movies, and built Lego.
As you do, Lego.
As you do, Lego.
Lego.
Well, you know, what do you do?
I mean, Lego. Are you for real?
Well, for me personally, it's great. Because of my stroke, it's really good to get the hands going, sort of thing. For my nephew, well, you know, sorry, my godson, well, you know, a whole day of quiet.
Beautiful. Yeah, sounds good. Our young fella got invited late to do a hotapu ceremony for the NRLW team. This was at 4:15 because they were on a 6:15. They had to be at the airport. But that was the first time for the Waz as well. To have a hotapu ceremony. Why I say that is because it's just starting to impact more and more of us. Sadly, it didn't result in a victory against Canberra over the weekend.
Thrashing would have been the word I would have used. You know? I would have used the word thrashing.
I actually haven't stirred Rangi up yet. I'll save that up. In fact, we could stir him up now, don't you think? Yum, 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 yum.
Well, I mean,
been waiting for this all weekend, Dale.
Yum. Oh, yum, yum.
You know, everyone here has one win in a bet, and I don't know how long I've been here. And anyway, free trade.
Can you hear well this? Worth it, though. It's well worth it.
See, that's the chopping of garlic.
I'm here to make Dale break even.
Swings and roundabouts, mate. Swings and roundabouts.
It must be a skinny cow.
It is.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to talk with you, Matthew, about free trade agreements. Mm. And also, if you don't mind, there's some talk as well that Te Pāti Māori may be tempted to position themselves by strategic voting in order to oust the government. There were some overtures of that type. We haven't been able to land John Tamihere today. I was going to ask him about it, but perhaps you could share some thoughts here. I mean, these types of discussions, while they are possible, are they credible at this time?
Oh, look, I mean, first of all, on free trade, I mean, we've had Modi mania in Auckland over the weekend. Road closure, Spark Arena packed out. It's very similar to what happened with Anthony Albanese and Melbourne with a lot of the diaspora. The truth is, that free trade agreement, you've got to read the fine detail. And whether or not it's going to have implications for a lot of people immediately, probably not. Interestingly enough, they expected $20 billion New Zealand dollars to be invested into India. I don't know where we're going to get that $20 billion from, but kapai, not a problem at all. The Minister for External Affairs in India said, not a problem. If you don't invest that $20 billion, we're not going to score you for it. We're not going to score you for it. I bet they would. But what I thought was also fascinating is when the Prime Minister and Todd McClay, who I believe was on RNZ this morning, started talking about this plethora of other free trade agreements they wanted to get together. They mentioned a country that nobody would want to trade with because, quite frankly, they're a pack of pirates, and that is Nigeria. I mean, I don't know what you would do creating a free trade agreement with Nigeria where their human rights track record is, quite frankly, not only terrible but offensive. But also, I mean, they have a reputation for scamming people out of money here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So I think we need to have a broader discussion around who we do our trade with. I think Winston Peters is on the money. I mean, have a look closer to home in the Pacific. And boosting our ties and relationships with whānau in the Pacific, that makes sense. Latin America, South America, that makes sense. But people have got to be real. Free trade agreements, often by themselves, are nothing more than announceable. Sometimes it takes a long, long time for anything to happen. And on Te Pāti Māori and John Tamahere, I mean, look, you'd be a rat covered in a sack of sugar not to want to have a look at. Yes, I said a rat covered in a sack of sugar. you're right there. To not want to sweeten some sort of deal, right? And it makes sense for Te Pāti Māori to advocate for Labour and the Greens to push for them to retain the electorates.
Well, the talk,
it makes sense.
Yeah, but I mean, they won't be talking about that now or formalising. This is all speculative. Mm. That they would even want to go down that path. Effectively, saying we'll give your candidate vote to the candidate in the electorate, but give your party vote to another party.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't heard anything like that, though, have we? Nothing formalised.
No, we haven't, and we're not backing any position here on Radio Wātea, although it's good for our whānau to be informed. So that sort of thing makes sense. It makes sense if you want to, in a very rare event, turn a first-term government into an only-term government. Then, you know, you want to throw everything at it, I suppose. But, I mean, we're still yet to see policies from all three parties, well, actually not from all three parties, from Labour mainly, about issues related to Kaupapa Māori.
Yeah, well, Hipkins has come some way towards addressing some of them. But the big ticket items, the re-establishment of Te Ako Whaiora, as an example,
I think that ship has sailed. I think the reason you won't find anything from Labour in that regard is that the lesson has been learnt in the last term of their government, that probably they went too quickly with a lot of stuff. Maybe what they need to think very clearly about is what sort of system the overall health system needs to look like. And Marama Davidson summed it up beautifully in terms of ACC as another lever within the broader health system. I mean, you can't have ACC and not be conscious of health. So what are all those things looking like in terms of Te Ao Māori?
Tēnā koe. The other issue, and we've spoken about the $20 billion free trade agreement, doesn't sound so free, does it?
Yeah, where are we getting $20 billion from? Well, I mean, I've done the mathematics. Do you like that one? The mathematics and the rat-covered sugar sack. And I cannot find those dollars anywhere. Nowhere. I mean, $20 billion would
be... You don't just fudge it.
It's called an announceable. Yeah, you do. If you want to make yourselves look good, you come up with a pretty title. You come up with a really nice photo with a couple of kids, you know, kissing or hugging you, and maybe you're stroking the top of a dog somewhere, and you make it look good. It's called an announceable, and that's what politicians have got to be wary of, just announcing things for the sake of announcing them.
Well, tēnā koe. Also, here we have Australia signing up with Fiji because the military powerhouse that is Fiji is going to protect the wider Pacific should there be any threat. And and now we've got a Prime Minister who is seriously considering joining that situation. What's to be gained, what's to be lost? Yeah. We're trying to placate our major trading partner, but at the same time fearful that they have military intentions. It's a strange bit of juggling. And do you think that sort of decision warrants cross-party discussion rather than whoever is in power decides to commit New Zealand one way or another?
I think in these things you've got to have a unilateral approach, not a bilateral or a partisan approach. So it's got to be bipartisan. The truth is that we have very few defence alliances. In fact, I think the only other one we've got is with Australia, and that is now quite some years old. Will Australia come to our defence? Probably not. I mean, you know, would they defend Tasmania? Probably not. I hate to say it, but I mean, no one's rushing to Tasmania these days. But the alliance in the Pacific is not so much about China's encroachment into the Pacific. It's more about our historic whakapapa relationships, if you know what I mean. I mean, our familial ties with the Pacific are extensive. The blue economy is worth a lot of money. The Pacific economy has a lot of potential. And I think what we need to do is just take a step back and say, well, okay, is this in our interest? And now, I was listening to Winston Peters on Radio New Zealand this morning. And he did say that they've already started discussions with Australia. They're exploratory. He likes the word exploratory. Nothing's been confirmed. It's still got to go to cabinet if we do go in that direction. But it actually makes sense. People forget that also Fiji has quite an extensive military history. I mean, putting all the coups aside, all the Rambuka coups and all all the other naughty business, they have an active peacekeeping force around the world. And Australia's military might has grown extensively as well. But then again, you know, China hiffing a ballistic missile in the Pacific's direction, bad form, bad form.
Okay, and just finally, the official cash rate. I don't understand this stuff as well as guys who, you know, delve into it, and you do a little more than me. It seems to me that it's a big organisation to just every now and then come up and say we're going to move it up 2 percentage points and down. Well, this time 0.5 percentage point. What, in real terms, what does a rise in the official cash rate mean for Māori interests?
Well, the first thing is the overall strategy of the Reserve Bank is to try and bring inflation under control. That's been a headline goal of the current coalition government since they came to office. Whether or not they can beat the headwinds of what's going on in the Middle East, and as you know, Trump says peace, everybody else says war, and then Trump calls them all heathens and off he goes again. Mm-hmm. So I think we're losing that battle against that form of inflation. In terms of the implications for Māori, both business and individuals, when your interest rate goes up on your mortgage, of course, you're going to be paying more.
Sure.
Therefore, the overall cost of living increases. But it's not only for those who own their home. For those who are renting, the risk is we're going to see rents go up as well. So landlords with a mortgage over the property will have to pay more. Obviously, they'll want to pass that on. And so you're in this, how do I put it, this virtuous circle. It's not even a virtuous circle of rinse and repeat, rinse and repeat. I'm not sure that the Reserve Bank increasing the official cash rate was good. I think they've now got nothing left or not much left in their locker. I think they probably should have waited until probably around September, October. What's really interesting about this new Reserve Bank governor from overseas is she's a lot more vocal and a lot more... People say it's transparent. You know what? I don't want to know what she's thinking. I don't care. What I want to know is that you're doing your job. I don't really care for the press conferences and the and all of the putting out statements. No. You're actually doing the job of the government. You're not an elected official, you're appointed. And by the way, what's wrong with having a New Zealander in the role anyway?
He was trying to bring in too much taha Māori into his thinking and operation. I think that's part of what seemed to be the demise of our previous Reserve Bank governor.
Adrian Orr,
yeah,
good man.
Adrian Orr, and then Hei Kuki Irony, yeah. And then, of course, we had Don Brash, who's now... Gentleman Don,
Dapper Don.
Okay, and we've got the Reserve Bank upping the official cash rate by 0.5 percentage point. They're going to have a little lie down now for another 6 months and then decide if it's going to go up and down again and then have another little lie down for another 6 months.
Well, that's right. And, you know, we're creeping close to the election. I mean, I'm not too sure the government's going to want to see an increase in the interest rate close to the election because that's just going to turn a whole lot of people off, much like the WAS do. You know, they turn a whole lot of people off when they start losing all over again. But that didn't happen against Benji Marshall, of course.
No. We could have beaten them by more and probably should have. Thank you very much, Matthew, for joining us today, reflecting on Hautapu, on official cash rates, and, well, even the LGBTQIM.
What team?
No. Got you there, didn't I?
What team? I'm still on plus.
Okay, fair enough. Thank you, Matthew, for joining us.